Will the House come to order? Will the members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
28 members present.
We have a quorum present to conduct business. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, Representative Duncan is the only member who's excused from the call of the House who is not here.
Our chaplain today is Reverend Milton S. Hunt. Would the members please rise for the invocation?
Let us pray. O Lord God, creator of the universe, we give you thanks for the snow which blankets the mountains, trees, buildings, and vehicles this morning in Juneau. Snow is also a symbol of how you come and cover our mistakes, errors, and sins. In ancient days you spoke through Isaiah saying, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall become as white as snow. Most gracious Heavenly Father, forgive us our blunders and our sins. We recognize that sometimes with good intentions we have ended up with what later turned into bad results. Forgive us our sins of commission. Also cover our failures to act when we might have acted. For we human beings have such limited time, and sometimes we have neglected someone we wish we would not have neglected. And there never seems to be enough money for all the good projects to help the poor and the weak. During this Christian Lenten season, forgive us our sins of omission. Guide us to make definitive language in our legislation and to boldly make clear decisions on the matters before us. Fill us with new vigor that we may tackle with energy the course that is ahead. We pray in the name of the bringer of forgiveness and new life, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Representative Fuller, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Hanley.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread upon the journal.
Are there any objection as to having the prayer spread upon the journal? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Would the clerk at this time please certify the journal for the 47th, 48th, and 49th legislative day?
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 47th, 48th, and 49th days in House Supplement Number 92.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the journal for the 47th, 48th, and 49th days in House Supplement 92 be approved as certified.
Are there any objections as to the correctness of the journals and the supplement? Hearing no objections, the journal and supplement stand approved. Do we have any guests for introduction today? Representative Schultz.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do have a guest in Gallery A. I would like to introduce to you, and I would like to have her please rise, Millie Tulliger, and she's down here with the Older Alaska's Commission. And she is past chairman of the Democratic Party for the state of Alaska. And Millie is a person who is still very active in the state of Alaska, in our state, local, and with our federal governments. I'd like to have you welcome her, please. If I may, Mr. Speaker, continue. I do have three students down here from Close Up. Bill Murray, I'd like to have them rise. Bill Murray from Anderson, Jackie Chapman from Healy, and Chris Bullard from Cantwell.
Representative Taylor.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, it gives me pleasure to introduce to the House a school teacher from Wrangell, Alaska, who is here with two close-up students. Holly Brown is in Gallery A. And the two students are Peter Pratz and Casey Colton, and they're in Gallery B, if they'd please stand.
Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have two guests today from Mount Edgecombe that I'm happy to introduce.
First, in Gallery B, a former student in my district in Port Lyons, now at Mount Edgecombe, Suzanne Von Steele. And in Gallery A, a teacher from Mount Edgecombe, from Sitka, Sarah Hannon.
Representative Frank.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, we have two well-known visitors from Fairbanks. Both are on the University of Alaska Foundation Board, and one is a member of the Board of Regents of the University of Alaska. Tom Miklosh is the member from the University of Regents, and with him is Paul Gavora.
Representative Jenkins.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A this morning, it's a pleasure for me to introduce a person who I've worked very closely with in the bill that's in front of you this morning, the Pupil Transportation Officer with the Department of Education, Romain Kareen.
Representative Herman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce close-up participants visiting today from ADAC and Nikolsky. A teacher in Gallery A, Joyce Robinette from ADAC. In Gallery B, the students Jamie Wilson from ADAC, Christine Callaghan from ADAC, and Becky Teniente from ADAC, and Susan Dushkin from Nikolsky, that's attending school at Mount Edgecombe.
Do we have any further guests for introduction? Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce some friends of mine from District 24, Karen Coout and her son Robin from Tositna. Tositna is north of Tanana. I also have Bob Gibson here from Antioch, Susan James from Birch Creek, Anna Phillips from Tulloxac, to help me welcome them today. Mr. Speaker, I also have some close-up participants I'd like to introduce from Cusbuck School District, teacher Tom Spencer. From Cusbuck School District. Let's see, he's not from Cusbuck. Let's see, Tom Spencer from Kalskag, village elder Bob Gibson from Antioch, Kathy Wiles from Kalskag, Kathy Nikolai from Kalskag, John Thompson from Crooked Creek, Chris Evans from Kalskag, Peter Van Borkelo from Chalkeetsik, Tina Joseph from Chalkeetsik, Marty Peter from Fort Yukon, Charlene Fisher from Beaver, Danny Pearson from Central. Would you help me welcome them today?
Last call for guests for introduction. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I just want to have Representative Boucher and Hurley are ill today.
Let's go down to messages from the governor.
Dear Representative Grusendorf, I have signed the following resolution and am transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's office for permanent filing. Senate Joint Resolution Number 29 relating to maintenance of essential air service to Cordova, Yakutat, Petersburg, Wrangell, and Gustavus, Alaska. Legislative Resolve Number 32, signed sincerely, Bill Sheffield, Governor. I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has approved the following citation, and it is transmitted for consideration. Honoring Anderson High School 1986 girls basketball team state AA champions by Senator Coghill and Representative Schultz. And the Senate approved the following, and they were transmitted to enrolling. Honoring Edward A. Murdies and honoring Paige Adams.
That citation sent to the House for our consideration will be placed in rules for calendaring.
The Senate has passed the following and is transmitted for consideration. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 278, Finance amended by the Finance Committee. An act relating to impoundment and registration of motor vehicles, senior citizen motor vehicle tax exemptions, licensing of certain drivers, fees for driver's licenses and permits, refusal to submit to a chemical test for intoxication, and the driver's license compact.
Three standing committees, State Affairs, Judiciary, and the Finance Committee.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 171, Finance by the Finance Committee. an act making special appropriations for capital projects and providing for an effective date.
One standing committee, finance.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have any other communications that should come before this body?
We've received the annual report for 1985 on games of chance and contests of skill, and it's on file in the Speaker's office. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us down to reports of standing committees.
The State Affairs Committee has considered House Concurrent Resolution 57 relating to Alaska as the host for the 1988 Arctic Winter Games and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 57, State Affairs of the same title, and that it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Hurley Chairman, concurring Hurley, Navarre, M. M. Miller, and Cato. House Concurrent Resolution number 57 appears on today's calendar. The Judiciary Committee has considered sponsor substitute for House Joint Resolution 22, proposing amendments to the Constitution of the State of Alaska, creating an appropriation reserve fund and limiting increases in appropriations, and recommends it as follows and attaches two fiscal notes. One is a zero. The report was signed by M. M. Miller, Chairman, signing do pass, Taylor, and Pettijohn. Signing do not pass, M. M. Miller, and Sund. Having no recommendation, Phillips. House Joint Resolution number 22 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Joint Resolution 62, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to the use and expenditure of state money, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 62, Judiciary, with the same title, reports it back as follows and attaches a zero fiscal note with analysis. The report was signed by M.M. Miller, Chairman, signing do pass, M.M. Miller. Having no recommendation, Grunberg and Phillips. Signing do not pass, Pettijohn. House Joint Resolution number 62 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 305 relating to barbers, cosmetologists, and estheticians under consideration and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 305 Finance with the same title. Reports it back as follows with a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Adams, Chairman, signing do pass, Ringstead, Duncan, and Cotton. Signing do not pass, Adams and Binkley. Signing no recommendation, the bill needs trimming, Szymanski. Having no recommendation, Larson, Porchot, Euling, Rieger, and Frank. House Bill 305 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 409, Licensing of School Bus Drivers, and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 409, Transportation, with a new title, recommends it do pass and attaches a new zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Adams, Chairman, concurring Adams, Larson, Porchot, Rieger, Frank, Binkley, Cotton, and Szymanski. House Bill 409 appears on today's calendar. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill 513, relating to constitutional appropriation limitation and budget reserve fund, and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 513, Judiciary, with the same title, and that it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note with analysis. The report was signed by M.M. Miller, Chairman, signing do pass, M.M. Miller. Having no recommendation, Grunberg and Phillips. Signing do not pass, Pettijohn. House Bill 513 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us, Representative Clarkson.
We have a brief at ease.
Would the House please stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, the clerk had just informed us that the reports of the special committees, that there weren't any. This brings us down to introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring Nancy I. Postacek by Representatives Hurley and Larson and Senators Kurtula and DeVries. Citation honoring Ethel Montgomery by Representatives M. M. Miller, Duncan, and Senator Ray. I have no resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Those citations will be referred to rules for calendaring. Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Some of the members have a bill on their sheet for referral. This is going to be held for further discussion. This brings us down to the consideration of the daily calendar. Would the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill number 409 by Jenkins, Larson, Hurley, Hanley, Collins, Pierce, Phillips, Rieger, Thompson, Euling, and Cotton. an act relating to licensing of school bus drivers and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Transportation has considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 409, Transportation, with a new title and recommends it do pass and attaches two fiscal notes. The report was signed by Cato, Chairman, signing do pass, Cato, Schultz, and Furness. Having no recommendation, Herman and Davis. Maru signed do not pass, onerous bureaucracy. The State Affairs Committee has considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 409, Transportation, and that it do pass. The report was signed by Hurley, Chairman, concurring Hurley, Navarre, Jenkins, Collins, Cato, and Boucher. Having no recommendation, M.M. Miller. The Finance Committee has considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 409, Transportation, and that it do pass, and attaches a new zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Adams, Chairman, concurring Adams, Larson, Porcheau, Rieger, Frank, Binkley, Cotton, and Zemanski. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the Transportation Committee substitute for House Bill 409 be considered in lieu of the original bill.
Are there any objections to the adoption of the committee substitute Transportation? Hearing no objections, the committee substitute Transportation has been adopted. Does the clerk have any further amendments upon her desk?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Having no amendments, Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask... There it is. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Transportation Committee substitute for House Bill 409 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Are there any objections to the advancement motion from second to third reading? Hearing no objections, would the clerk please read the title of that bill?
Committee substitute for House Bill 409, Transportation, by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to training and licensing of school bus drivers and providing for an effective date.
Is there any debate? Representative Maru.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When this bill was in Transportation Committee, six people signed the committee report, three signed do pass, two signed no recommendation, and one signed myself, do not pass. Since then, I've seriously considered changing my opinion on this bill, and I have come to the conclusion that I cannot. The bill on line 22, page 2, has got 20 years from, for example, from a felony involving possession of an imitation controlled substance, whatever that is. It would seem to me that if we're in favor of rehabilitating people, 20 years is excessive. In committee, I recommended that we change that to 10 years, 8 years presumptive sentence plus 2 years afterwards. Similarly, on line 11, page 3, we have 10 years within driving while intoxicated. Again, in committee, I recommended that was excessive, and I suggested we change it to 5 years. Obviously, that suggestion did not pass. This will require, and I'm reading from Commissioner Sundberg's position paper, this bill will require the state to have an approved school bus driver training course with all that that implies. There will be a very expensive course set up. Now, we have three fiscal notes. You can take your pick, I suppose. So which one you believe? One of them says it's going to cost $108,500 the first year. Another one says it's only going to cost $8,800 the first year. And another one, believe it or not, is zero and says that the cost of the school bus driver training program can be absorbed in the budget appropriation for pupil transportation. Now, if that is true, then apparently any new program, the cost of any bill could be absorbed in the existing bureaucracy. And if that's true, then of course the existing bureaucracy is overblown and too expensive, which I've been saying, of course, all along. We have received public opinion messages on this. One of them reads in part that I wish to oppose this bill. There are other things that can be done rather than put the monkey on the driver's back. Another one from a transportation coordinator of a school district says, our district's bus transportation contract is between the contractor and the district, not between the contractor and the state. This bill does not appear in the best interest of the majority of Alaskans. Mr. Speaker, I've regretfully come to the same conclusion. In Transportation Committee, we heard testimony to the effect that in the last 10 years, at that time, there had been three accidents across the state involving school children that resulted in fatalities. Two of these were in Eagle River, One was in ADAC. My understanding since then is that one more has occurred in the Matsu Valley. Those are three locations, three school districts out of 52 or 54 or whatever the proper term is and the number is in the state. It seems to me that this is clearly a school district problem, not a state problem. The vast majority of contractors and the vast majority of school drivers are very safe, as shown by the extremely low level of accidents in the state. This is a school district problem. It is not a state problem. This is going to be expensive. In spite of the zero fiscal note we see here, it is going to be very expensive. And therefore, I have regretfully concluded that I'll have to vote no.
Representative Jenkins.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The good old days of handing a school bus driver a set of keys, pointing him in the direction of the bus, and handing him a route sheet are gone. The state of Alaska must take an aggressive role in its pupil transportation program. All too often we ignore transportation until something serious occurs. The lawsuits start, the community reacts, and insurance costs rise. The parents of Alaska who have entrusted the state to educate their children must have school bus drivers who are of high moral character, well educated in safety, and highly skilled in driving school buses. Committee substitute for House Bill 409 would set minimum transportation requirements for school bus drivers. Under the bill, an applicant must meet the Department of Public Safety's standards of good character, competence, and fitness before she can be licensed to drive, be entrusted with Alaska's school students. House Bill 409 interprets or implements into statute many of the existing regulations relating to the licensing of school bus drivers. In addition, the bill adds sections dealing with the following. First, the applicant must complete a school bus driver training program established under the Department of Education. Second, the applicant must complete a national criminal records and background check. Third, the person must not have been involved in the distribution or possession of controlled substances. And fourth, the applicant must not have had a serious problem of driving while intoxicated. Driver training is the one of the most critical areas of pupil transportation safety. It may be asked whether we can afford to have a driver training program. My answer is simple. We can not afford not to have a program. This bill has had three hearings in the Transportation Committee, hearing in State Affairs and one in Finance. It received many due pass recommendations. Thanks to the work of these committees, I feel we have a good and polished bill. HB 409 makes the Alaska pupil transportation system sparkle. I would particularly like to thank the Transportation Chairman, the Finance Committee member from Palmer for their work and support. This bill also enjoys wide support from school districts, school bus contractors, and the public at large. We've heard strong support from communities as far from across Alaska as Soldotna, Delta Junction, Eagle River, North Pole, Anchorage, and Fairbanks. I urge all the members of this body to support HB 409 as well. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gull.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a question through the chair to the sponsor with regard to the training and the need for training. Of those accidents that have occurred in the state, how many of those have been the fault of the drivers?
Representative Cato.
You are all driver responsible.
Representative Larson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a brief response from the or to the representative from Homer. It is true, of course, that the local school districts do contract with the various contractors for pupil transportation, but it is also true that the state is funding 100% of pupil transportation, and if we're going to fund any program for over $24 million a year, we better make sure that the driver not only is able to drive the school bus safely, but is also a person of strong moral character. That's our obligation.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Penny Alberry.
Well, Mr. Speaker, as the sponsor has pointed out, if the material in this bill, if the issues in this bill were being adequately handled by regulation, why have we had to now place what was in regulation in statute? One must wonder if that's the appropriate thing to do. Should we take all of our regulations and put them in statute?
Any further debate? Representative Jenkins.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. The answer to that simply not only puts into some the regulations part of Department of Public Safety, but it also adds a standardized program of education training in the Department of Education.
Are you ready for the question now? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 409, Transportation, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, lock the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Representative Furness.
Nay to yea,
Speaker. Nay to yea. Representative Penny Alberry?
Nay to yea, Mr. Speaker.
Nay to yea. Representative Taylor? Any other member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
Excuse me, 34 yeas, 2 nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill 409, Transportation, has passed the House. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the roll call vote on Transportation Committee substitute for House Bill 409 be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Are there any objections to the adoption of the effective date clause? Representative Davis, objection?
No objections, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 409.
Okay, notice of reconsideration has been given on said bill. Are there any objections as to the effective date? Hearing no objection, the effective date has been adopted. Would the clerk at this time please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Concurrent Resolution Number 57 by Navarre, relating to Alaska as the host for the 1988 Arctic Winter Games. The State Affairs Committee has considered the resolution and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 57 State Affairs with the same title, and that it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Hurley, Chairman, concurring Hurley, Navarre, M.M. Miller, and Cato. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the State Affairs Committee substitute for HCR 57 be considered in lieu of the original resolution.
Are there any objection as to the adoption of the committee substitute State Affairs? Hearing no objections, the committee substitute has been adopted. Would the clerk please read the amendment that we have before us on this resolution?
Amendment number one by Maru. Line 20, after game, insert, provided that no state funds are used.
Representative Maru.
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment and ask for unanimous consent of this particularly extraordinary amendment.
Objection. Hearing objections, proceed, Representative.
Mr. Speaker, it would be great if we got the Arctic Winter Games in Alaska. However, with oil revenues declining substantially, and I suspect far more substantially than any of us currently expect, we simply cannot afford to put money into a sporting event in Alaska. Our roads are in terrible shape, there are buildings in terrible shape, and we need the money for that. Therefore, I ask that my colleagues vote to pass this amendment so that no state funds will be used to support this sporting program.
Representative Navarre, amendment number one.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think if you'll read the resolution, everyone will see that it doesn't call for any state funds. And in fact, if we were going to use state funds, it would have to be considered at a later date, either in an appropriations bill or within the budget. Mr. Speaker, the amendment is unnecessary, and I would say that it is well-intended but ill-advised.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall amendment number one be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote?
The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? The clerk tally the board.
7 yeas, 29 nays.
Amendment number 1 has failed adoption. This resolution is in second and final reading. Is there any further amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Ready for the question. The question is, shall committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 57, State Affairs, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? The clerk tally the board.
36 yeas, no nays.
Committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 57, State Affairs, has passed the House. Would the clerk at this time please read the next item on today's calendar?
Committee substitute for House Bill 113, Finance, by the Finance Committee. An act providing a working reserve for the payment of claims and obligations arising from accrued leave, unemployment compensation, workers' compensation, and general liability for state employees and providing for an effective date. We are in third reading, Mr. Speaker.
We're in third reading and under debate. Is there any debate? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 113, Finance, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? The clerk tally the board.
33 yeas, 2 nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill 113, Finance, has passed the House. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on final passage of Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 113 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Are there any objection as to the adoption of the effective date clause? Hearing no objection, the effective date clause has been adopted. Still under the consideration of the daily calendar, I believe we have a few citations to approve. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that all of the citations appearing on today's calendar be approved.
Are there any objections as to the adoption of the citations on today's calendar? Representative Sun.
Heaven at ease.
The House, please stand at ease. Would the House come back to order? Before the at ease, there was a motion before us to accept or approve the citations before us. There was an objection. Representative Clarkson.
If it's appropriate as a procedure, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that all members of the House be co-sponsors of the citation honoring Mr. McGregor.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, all members will be shown as co-sponsors.
Now I'd like to renew my motion that all citations on today's calendar be approved.
Are there any objections to the adoption of the citations on today's calendar? Hearing none, the citations stand approved. This brings us down to unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before this body? Mr. Majority Leader. Are there any objections to special order of business? Hearing none. Representative Coxon.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the citation honoring Ethel Montgomery be approved.
Are there any objections to the citation? Hearing no objections, the citation stands approved. Mr. Majority Leader.
I have several excused absences, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Sund be excused from the call of the House from noon Friday, March 7th, through plain time Sunday, March 9th. And let's see, on Monday, March 17 through plain, that's plain time Monday, March 17. Representative Porchot be excused from the call of the House 5 p.m. Friday, March 14 through plain time Monday, March 17. Representative Pettyjohn be excused from the call Friday, April 4th, until plain time Monday, April 7th. That Representative Davis be excused from the call of the House Wednesday, March 5, and that Representative Binkley be excused from the call of the House Tuesday, March 4 through Saturday, March 8.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, those people named are excused from the call of the House. Any further unfinished business? Mr. Majority Leader.
The limbo file. It's my intent to place motions, Mr. Speaker, on House Bill 111 and House Bill 187, Senate Bill 187.
Proceed, Representative.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House concur in Senate amendments to committee substitute for House Bill 111, Transportation Amended, thereby adopting Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill number 111, Transportation, as amended by the Senate, and ask the members to vote yes.
Representative Gohl.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could I ask some member who is able to just review those amendments, please, for the body?
Let me have the clerk please read the title of that bill, and then we'll go to the discussion.
Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 111, Transportation Amended, Senate by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to local service roads and trails and providing for an effective date.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, according to a letter from the from a member of the Senate to Representative Cato, and I quote, the Senate Transportation Committee amended CSHB 111, one addition merely a clarification, the other a significant change in determining which cities receive funds under the existing formula. In Section 2, the phrase, quote, and unified municipalities, close quote, was inserted on page 1, line 21. This was added to clarify what unified municipalities were included. In Section 3, the committee amended C to exclude home rule cities from the unorganized borough, in the unorganized borough, from the funding formula. The committee found that the same problems existed for home rule cities as first-class cities under the formula. Home rule cities in the unorganized boroughs received inadequate amounts of money to complete projects. Under the amended version, those home rule cities would receive their funds from the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities based on a set of internal criteria. Mr. Speaker, I am informed that the governor's office, who was the prime sponsor of this legislation, has reviewed the legislation and has no objection to approval of the Senate version.
Any further debate? I'm ready for the question. The question is, shall the House concur in the Senate amendments, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 111, Transportation Amended? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk lock the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
36 yeas, no nays.
The House concurs in the Senate amendments. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on final passage of Senate CS for House Bill 111, Transportation, as amended by the Senate, be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Are there any objection to the adoption of the effective date clause? Hearing none, the effective date clause has been adopted. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent. Let's see, I don't need unanimous consent. I move that the House recede from its amendment to Senate Bill 187, thereby adopting the Senate version of Senate Bill 187 and ask the members to vote no.
Oh. All right, excuse me, Mr. Speaker.
Would the clerk please read the title of that bill?
Yes.
I'm going to let the clerk read the title of that bill.
The House version is House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 187, Second Judiciary by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to adoption and providing for an effective date.
Is there any debate? Representative Furness.
I'd like a brief at ease, Mr. Speaker.
Would the House please stand at ease? Would the House come back to order? We have a motion before us to recede from our amendments to the Senate bill. We are under discussion of that bill. Is there any further discussion? Are you ready for the question? Shall the House recede from the amendments to Senate Bill 187? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? The clerk lock the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? The clerk tally the board.
3 yeas, 32 nays.
The House has failed to recede from the amendments to Senate Bill 187, Second Judiciary, or Senate Bill 187. At this time, I'd like to appoint the following members of the conference committee to meet on that bill. Representative Gruenberg, Representative Szymanski, and Representative Pettyjohn. Do we have any further unfinished business to come before this body? Seeing no further unfinished business, this brings us down to committee announcements and of special and standing nature. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I wasn't quite fast enough on unfinished business. If we may, I'd like to reverse to unfinished business.
Are there any objections? Proceed, Representative.
Speaker, I'd like this time to move to waive committee substitute for House Bill 503 relative to the Kenai River Ice Classics. There is other legislation in other committees that this will be considered with, and it meets with concurrence of my committee to waive this bill.
Are there any objections to the motion to waive this bill? Hearing no objection, the bill is waived. Announcements, standing in special committees. Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 577 relating to the Yukon River Ice Classic will not be heard today in Labor and Commerce. It's going to be considered in Finance with the other bills on that matter, and I've checked with the prime sponsor. She has no problems with it.
Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This afternoon at 1:30, House Finance will meet to take up House Bill 502, which we did not finish on Friday. It'll be a short meeting, and that's an act relating to the disclosure of state tax assessments.
Any further committee announcements? Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Change to be made on the calendar for tomorrow for the House Committee at the request of the sponsor, House Bill 292. Public employee retirement system credits will not be heard, and we will take up a bill that we've already heard along with the other items on the calendar, Senate Bill 67, which relates to the service of domestic violence petitions.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, tomorrow at 12:30, I repeat 12:30, in my office will be there will be several interesting film clips from national TV news programs on the subject of unclaimed property
and the way that property escheats to the state, or in some cases does not, because it's simply absorbed by bank charges. This will show excerpts from 2020 and several other national broadcasts on the this is the subject of the bill, which will later be heard that same day, Tuesday at 1:30, by the Judiciary Committee. In addition to that, Mr. Speaker, a nationally known expert on this subject is coming at I hasten to add, at no charge to the state, but a nationally known expert on unclaimed property, Mr. David Epstein, who was reporter on the Uniform Law Committee that's drafted the Uniform Unclaimed Property Act, will be with us at the committee. So particularly for members, if you can possibly do it, I suggest you bring a brown bag at 12:30 and see the film clips. And then, of course, we'll show we'll discuss the bill at 1:30. And, of course, other members are more than welcome to attend as well.
Any further committee announcements? General announcements. Representative Fox.
I have two, Mr. Speaker. The acting majority leader made an announcement last week, which I want to reemphasize and clarify with regard to co-sponsorship of legislation. Uniform Rule 35 provides that a change of sponsor may be made in third reading in a bill or after passage by a majority vote of the members present. It may not be made any time after enrollment. What that means, Mr. Speaker, is that green slips are appropriate any time prior to the final vote on final passage and third reading of the bill. After that time and until enrollment, it requires a majority vote of this body. And anybody wishing that should notify me to make sure we do it right procedurally. And any bill that has been transmitted to the governor is not available for the additional co-sponsors. A second announcement. The Commissioner Bill Ross of the Department of Environmental Conservation will be the featured speaker at the Bill Egan Forum, the weekly Democratic luncheon tomorrow, Tuesday at noon at Patty's Restaurant. Public is welcome to attend. There is a charge for lunch.
Any further announcements? This brings us down to special orders. Representative Cato.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like the permission of the floor to speak under special orders on cabooses.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, proceed, Representative.
Mr. Speaker, I received word this morning that a railroad car, which had been disconnected from the train and set at Crown Point, which was its destination, is leaking formaldehyde. I understand that the railroad has been closed, or the highway has been closed. The Alaska Railroad is evacuating the people out of Crown Point and are pumping the formaldehyde into trucks to be transported to Kenai. Kenai was the ultimate destination, has to go on by truck from there. It's taking them a lot longer because they have to go to Kenai to dump. My major point of this mishap is that had the car been in transport from the Alaska Railroad with the crew on the caboose, this could have been minimized by that crew due to the fact that they would have smelled the leakage and been able to take action. I believe the Alaska Railroad is concerned with safety, but between the safety report issued in February coupled with this mishap, I can only urge my colleagues to consider very heavily the importance of retaining a caboose on the Alaska Railroad. The Alaska Railroad is a major carrier of hazardous materials, and for that reason alone, I truly believe a caboose is a necessity and must be mandated by the legislature to require the Alaska Railroad to retain this car until such time as technology has advanced to a point to replace the crew on a caboose. I found out since I've been on the floor that this car was leaking formaldehyde very slightly when it left the Anchorage Yard 3 days ago and was reported by a member of the caboose. Thank you very much.
Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Permission to speak on the same subject.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, proceed.
We don't want it in Kenai.
Any further special orders? Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Wednesday.
Any objections?